News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. On Mobile Mornings, a lot and lots and lots to get to here this morning, from Ukraine to right here in town, mayor's race. I was thinking about that when I was looking at my, just looking at old Wikipedia page about the candidates that ran last time around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a, you know, it's like who won the March Madness last year. I don't know. I mean, it's a big deal, and and eventually you know who won an election because March Madness, it comes and goes and you move on to the next year or any kind of championship.
Mm-hmm.
While the mayor, he's sticking around for 4 years generally to let you know that he won.
Right.
But it's funny, do you remember the other candidates involved?
I certainly remember the top two contenders.
Yes.
In former Councilman Fred Richardson and, of course, Carlos Finley,
yep,
who's well-known in political circles and elsewhere around
Rand Mobile.
Well-known. Uh-huh. And that was a three-man race, although there were five names in the mix that you laid out there. It was really a three-man race. It was really a two-man race,
yep,
when it came all down to it.
It did.
But now we have seven names in for this, what you'd think would be a wide-open mayoral race. August 26th is that election. May 26th is the deadline for these candidates who have at least moved into the city of Mobile, and that is at least, I don't know if I'd say a point of contention necessarily, but it's a question mark hanging above former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine, who it's well understood that he lives in Saraland and would need to move. He's saying that's taken care of. He didn't really take questions, I guess, after his announcement yesterday, but he said that won't be a problem as far as being a citizen of the city of Mobile. And he will be on, by the way, today with Sean Sullivan at 1 o'clock, the former police chief Paul Prine. But he was at Government Plaza yesterday making the announcement 2 days before he said an announcement would come. He said that the 14th would be when he'd make his intentions known. It came a couple days early, and here's Prine.
Today is the day that I announce my candidacy for mayor.
50 folks, according to Brady Petrie, that were there at Government Plaza for that announcement. Prine, so he's going with three fundamental pillars of his campaign. He said he will make safety a top priority with a zero tolerance policy when it comes to crime. He said far too often, Mobilians go outside the city limits to spend their time and money because they don't feel safe within the city limits. He said our police officers and firefighters need to continue to get the equipment, resources, and raises, as well as all city employees, to be able to provide the people the best service that government is supposed to provide. So it doesn't sound like much of a statement there, but he just said, I want to get raises to all city employees. That's not nothing.
No, that's not nothing at all.
He said, a lot of times we make government complicated. It's merely to provide public conveniences, to take care of infrastructure and provide public safety. Also said he'd work with state and local leaders to create a facility aimed at preparing local students for their careers after graduation. And, it's funny that each of these candidates has to acknowledge the momentum that this city currently has.
Mm-hmm.
With the growth of, with the Civic Center Arena, with the bridge project that's coming up, which is certainly more of a federal, state, and local deal. And, the airport moving downtown. So I think each of these candidates that has at least spoken publicly has said they want to keep that going in some form or fashion. We'll get into Connie Hudson and kind of her disagreement about how the Civic Center project's going along.
Yes.
But Prine also said he wants to develop the city's waterfront. Again, that's kind of something that's already in motion, right?
Yeah, and it long, long overdue, most would say. But that's changing a little bit with that big event, that big project that's going to be to the north of the convention center, the hotel and retail and all that.
A proposed waterfront hotel with, sounds like quite a bit to do, even if you're not staying at that hotel.
It looks pretty cool.
And you have the Amtrak that'll be there before long.
Right.
And then, of course, the Civic Center, which is right there nearby, Civic Center Arena. He also said he wants to work to combat homelessness and improve mental illness treatment. Here's more from Prine saying he is a champion of the people.
Paul Prine has always demonstrated that he is a champion for the people.
He also said he wants this to be a clean campaign. He wants everyone to keep it above board, no shots below the belt, and said he's going to do that. which I don't like the odds of this being an entirely clean campaign all the way up until August 26th.
It'd be hard to believe we've got seven candidates in there. Again, how long will many of them stay in the race? But that's a lot of people to try to keep it between the lines the whole time through. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Especially once you start seeing numbers slip, or maybe your numbers going up a little bit. By the way, I did get another poll text yesterday, and I didn't answer it because I don't do that kind of thing, if you know what I mean. I just checked it out to see what it was about, and it didn't really give any clue. It was about the mayoral race.
Right.
And it asked the poll takers' thoughts on the Trump administration, Tuberville. They were asking your opinion on very specific candidates to kind of get a feel for what the folks around here would be wanting to vote for. And then it ran some short bios of each candidate and said,
talking about mayor?
Yeah, talking about mayor. Let me see if I can pull this up really quickly. This came through to me yesterday.
If Prime was in there.
So it says, hi, Dalton. It's Ava with AL Research.
Okay.
We have a new survey and need to hear from voters in Mobile. Now, normally I don't click on anything if I don't know who it is. But I figured this probably is a real poll,
You thought it was someone named Ava.
That is not the case. So they ask questions like, how do you consider yourself politically,
right?
Republican, Democrat, Independent? How did you vote for the last election, the presidential election, that is? What is one word you would use to describe Mobile today? What are the top two or three issues the next mayor should address? And then the favorability ratings for each of the candidates who have jumped into this point. I think all seven are on this list. But they also added Will Ainsworth and Tommy Tuberville and Sandy Stimson, who is all obviously on his way out. So they're trying to get your take. They want to know what you like, right? Steve Marshall's on that list. Obviously, several of those people not running for mayor of Mobile. But they're just trying to get the political temperature, I guess. And then
it seems like Ava bumped her head. She's not really clear on the questions she's asking you.
I think it's pretty clear. They're just trying to throw a wide net and get a good take on what people in Mobile want. Now, I was looking for clues as to who commissioned this poll.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really figure it out. Maybe Jeff has better insight than I. But I thought it was interesting. They had short bios of each of the candidates.
That is interesting.
And said, here's how they put it. Here's some information about the possible candidates for mayor.
Okay.
How likely are you to support each of the following candidates from a scale of 1 to 7? And then for each candidate, I was looking for them to try to demean one candidate or the other. That would give you a clue as to who commissioned the poll. Mm-hmm. But each of these are well-written from each campaign, what you would expect. And so they want your take on each of those and then who you're most likely to vote for. So I didn't get it. That was a long way for me to say, I don't know who commissioned that poll, but it came out for me yesterday. And now you have seven names in. I don't know if we'll see more jump in.
All the bios are respectful?
Yes.
There's nothing negative in there?
Right. It doesn't say former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine, who is currently embroiled in lawsuits with the city.
Who was fired.
No, the one they wrote for him was Paul Prine, a native of the Mobile area who rose to police chief, brings 20-plus years of law enforcement expertise to his mayoral campaign. His leadership resulted in record-breaking crime reduction and improved officer retention. Prine's platform emphasizes accountability, transparency, and innovative public safety strategies. And they had something well-written like that for each candidate. I don't know who wrote it or whether every single one of those is true, but they're just trying to get the voters' take on these candidates.
Well, you could not write a more positive bio on Prime.
Right.
That was very, complimentary,
mm-hmm.
especially when you consider embroiled in the with Mayor Stimson and all that went down with the technology center and mm-hmm. and of course anybody can have their opinion on that. It's just interesting. It's not even in the bio
at all.
How
it's spun, right? Mm-hmm. And there wasn't much spin there. So here was the end of that announcement yesterday from the former police chief.
I would ask you to consider voting for Paul Prine, the people's chief, the people's choice, the people's mayor.
And there you have it, off and running. And he joins County Commissioner, former council member Connie Hudson, former news journalist turned congresswoman, state congresswoman Barbara Drummond, Jermaine Burrell in the mix, Lawrence Batiste, who's known well here, former Judge Spiro Chariagatis, and former councilman and County Commissioner Stephen Nodine, all seven in the race now. And we've been getting your take this morning on your early favorite as we head towards August 26th and who you want to see win. We were talking earlier about Connie Hudson, and she's kind of in She's a bit of a situation right now.
Yeah, she's in the news for sure right now with being on the county commission, looking like she might have that swing vote on how much money, if any, the county commission applies to the new Mobile Civic Center.
That's right. And so remember, they started at 15 mil. That's what the city wanted the county to put into the new Civic Center arena project. They then dropped that to, remember, it was 10 mil a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then they dropped it down to 7.5 million. And I still don't think there's much movement on the county contributing, at least to that amount of money. So Hudson, who of course is running for mayor, told John Sharp with AL.com she's concerned that the project doesn't include plans for a theater. And we're going to figure out what's going on here really quickly. Oh, there we go. All right.
Well, that's a little bit
of a situation.
That's the monitor. So I'm not sure if that's okay.
All right. Let us know if you're hearing us out there. 251-343-0106. So back to what I was saying.
Steve stepped on a cord back there.
if you didn't hear anything there, just know that Dan and I did and thought we were off the air for a second. So Hudson said, an urban city this size should have a theater that can host Broadway shows or certainly host our cultural arts community with ballet and opera sets. I guess, and I know there's many of you who are diehard, you say we have to have a theater, and that is part of the later phases of this project. But is that redundant with the Sanger? I don't know.
I think it's not, because of the makeup of the structure. You have to have a backstage so large. The Sanger is kind of a band box, you know. Sanger's Fenway Park, which you would want is a bigger stadium, you know. So I think that it doesn't meet the needs of all those events.
Okay. I've seen a couple shows at the arena before it was demolished, obviously. Paw Patrol being the last one. Let me tell you, Paw Patrol puts on a heck of a show. So you have Hudson, who's echoing fellow Commissioner Merceria Ludgood's comments. Basically, they don't feel comfortable funding this unless it has a theater. And they also said, the county commission was never consulted about what we felt this arena and development should entail. Mm. The city came to us after the fact and asked for the money and said, here's our plan. We said, we need a theater. They said, it's too late. It's being designed. That's head scratching. We feel that it's very important, and we're told that this is not what the community wants. Now, that seems obvious to me that if she were mayor, she's going to make a big push to add a theater. And I don't know what else she's interested in adding to that project or other projects. But keep in mind, this is already a $300 million project. And I think it's coming in. It came in under budget, at least the bids did. And then we got a pretty good rate relatively once they found that out a couple weeks ago. But that is a campaign issue, because more or less she's saying, as a county commissioner, she doesn't want to, she's not comfortable as of now putting her vote towards putting money towards the Civic Arena project unless there's a theater. So what does that tell you? If she's mayor, she's going to...
I don't think
it's a big issue, but it is an issue, and it's early in the campaign here.
Right. It's not a big issue to you or I, but it is a big issue to some of the citizens out there. And obviously, Connie Hudson is familiar with those voices that are saying, hey, this isn't right. Curiously, the theater is still standing, right? There's a building that remains standing.
You know, we were right by it a whole lot of the last week. I didn't even really... I was just looking at them building the parking garage for the most part. Is the theater still up right now?
I think that's the theater that is still standing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. And also, as far as the Sanger simply doesn't meet the needs to what they're talking about, like the Broadway shows or even some of the dancing that goes on. It couldn't happen, or the ballet. I suppose it just can't happen at the Sanger or some of those things. So I don't think that this is what's the price tag on this thing now?
I don't know it was a $300 million project.
And so,
I remember it came under budget. So what was it, like 261 is what they were looking at now? I need to get that exact number. Yeah.
I don't know that you can walk into office and say, oh, by the way, we're going to have to reverse course. We're going to have to add this on. It's not like adding something to your salad. This is a construction project that's going to be underway here soon. And once it's underway, do you really have the opportunity to add on something to it? I mean, You know, blueprint's a blueprint. That's what we're building. That, not this, that.
Yeah, and it's an agreement that's been hammered out over months and months, maybe years of negotiations.
Right. So you wonder if negotiation even can still be going on.
Keep those texts coming. Right now, who you're wanting to see as mayor of Mobile? I know your mind has plenty of time to change before August 26th, but love to hear from you on the text line. 251-343-0106.
By the way, if you have aspirations to be, you know, you can be the eighth candidate. I'm talking to you out there listening. We have seven candidates for mayor right now. Just so you know, you're not blindsided going in. You need to be a registered voter of the city of Mobile.
Okay.
You need to be a resident of the city for at least 90 days before the election day. You were counting that out.
With May 26th Brian. Is that deadline, I think.
Right. How old do you think you have to be to run for mayor of Mobile?
Well, it's 35 for president. I'm going to say 70. I don't know.
It's 25.
25, okay.
So you have,
what's the youngest mayor we've had? I'd like to know that.
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. And you have to throw in, what do you think the qualifying fee is? You owe the city money to run for mayor. What would that be?
I want to say thousands, but I'm going to say $500.
You got it.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Dalton is now the eighth.
Oh, no. I just accidentally entered the race. That's not what I wanted to do.
Okay. 826, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
This texter, prime for mayor, Coach Tubbs for governor. And it's looking more and more likely that Tuberville will run for governor. We talked about that quite a bit this morning.
Yeah, he's
basically
not quite letting his cards out, but others are letting it out for him.
The Ag Commissioner Rick Pate kind of letting that slip. He had a delayed flight airport conversation with Tuberville where he more or less confirmed to him that he is running. So that was interesting.
That was a confidential conversation, Ag Commissioner. But
1819 News has that. Caleb Taylor, and I'm sure Jeff will be talking about that coming up. Tim says it's the Expo Hall that's still up down there at the arena.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, texter here. Mobile doesn't support anything. Bay Sharks, Bay Bears, Maritime Arena, ice hockey rink, and the museum, you name it, anything cultural or entertaining, Mobile doesn't support. Building another theater of such would be a total waste of time and money. I don't know about that. You know, I agree there have been missteps along the way. I think, at least for the first phase of the new arena's life, it's going to be a pretty popular spot. And mm-hmm. I think they're going to do what they can to make it as popular as they can. We were just talking about the Jimmy Buffett thing, right?
Yeah.
And how they're going to commission a statue, or they are commissioning a statue of Buffett to put out in front of the Maritime Museum. And they mentioned Son of a Sailor Fest, which we know pretty well around here.
We do, because Joseph and a friend started that 2 years ago with just a parade. Mm-hmm. The parade ended up at Moe's, where people or bands were in place to play Buffett music. So it was really, it was a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended at a place where you could have a party. That's what happened. This year was completely different. The city got involved, and it was a parade that ended at Cathedral Square. So the parade itself was maybe a third shorter. And then you had the acts. It was in September. It was pretty warm.
Yeah, so I was just batting around. You know, what if this ends up being a big thing year over year? Have a second line parade into the new arena and then have all those acts ready to roll. I think it has a lot of potential. I really do.
Yeah, and you're right. You made a good point about the newness of the arena. When things are new, people are into it. People are curious about it. They are prideful of it, that in our city we have this nice new arena. That's going to be the feeling I think we get if there's no disappointment once it's unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, without a theater, that's going to disappoint a number of residents, a percentage of residents that think that's an important part of it. But if it remains building what their plans are to build, there will be no theater.
Joel, who's made his point clear already this morning, but he says, I would love to see Paul Prine win and throw that right back in the city of Mobile's face for doing him like they did him. And Ricky, not listening at all, he says, Thomas Massey for president. So we appreciate that. Ricky, chiming in.
Yeah, and the city of Mobile, I don't know. You could say they did him wrong. It was the administration. Is that considered the city? I don't know. It was the mayor. And
that's a conflict that'll be battled out in the courts going into this.
You got that, too. And that's kind of crazy. 8:30, Dan and Dalton, good morning to you. sounds like outer space. It's 8:35. There's a reason I said that, by the way.
Yeah.
Because you got a couple of astronauts up there that...
You think they're ready to come home?
You would think, I would say that is a big blank understatement. They went up. They went up for a week. They went up for like a weekend.
I forgot. How long was that supposed to be?
It wasn't supposed to be.
Short stay.
It was going to be a really short stay, probably not a weekend, but you get it when you consider how long they have been up there instead.
And God bless them, right?
I know.
And
God
their families.
Keeping their attitude just fine. And there's like, how did this happen? Or why haven't they been brought back till now? And there's some talk about that going on.
Yeah, remember I was talking about this like day in and day out, and then we got months in, and it was like, well, I guess we're just going to kind of wait this thing out.
Yeah.
And so Elon Musk, he had that interview just the other night with, now I'm blanking on it, wasn't Varney, but some dude on Fox News.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've completely forgot who it was, but pretty good interview. And his last question for him was, hey, what about those two NASA astronauts who are still up there on the International Space Station? And Elon, in some very short words, said, we're going to go get them. Here's Elon.
Can you rescue the astronauts?
Yes, we're bringing them back in a few weeks.
There's not near enough attention being paid to this. You're going to get them back?
We're going to get them back.
And he's right. Not near enough attention being paid to this. And you'll know why when I tell you what the word is now. So you have Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams still up there. 9 months now they've been on the International Space Station. It was an 8-day mission, Dan.
I wasn't far off, was I?
8 days turns into 9 months. It sounds like a spring break fling, right? The rescue mission will... I'm sorry about that. The rescue mission will...
It sounds like the... It does sound like the title of a movie. And what's it all about? Well, it's about these astronauts.
The rescue mission will utilize the SpaceX Dragon craft. It's been docked at the ISS since September. Exact return date isn't clear. Could be as soon as the 16th, which is just a few days away. The replacement Crew 10 mission is launching tonight, if the weather allows. And the new crew is expected to arrive at the ISS tomorrow morning. So that's the plan. But you look at what even the astronauts who are stuck up there saying now why they're in this position. And you have a former astronaut who I believe was also on the ISS at one point, Clayton, nicknamed Astro Clay Anderson.
Okay.
He said, Elon Musk said it was politically motivated. I think there's some truth in that. They said it was because of the presidential election that Biden didn't go ahead and make this happen. I should say the Biden team.
Thought too risky or?
Mr. Astro Clay said he offered to bring them home earlier. It came about right before the election when Musk said he'd go up and get them. You remember that?
Yeah.
He said, my opinion is that they didn't want a disaster right before an election that they were trying to win and therefore asked the astronauts to sacrifice and stay in orbit. I'll tell you my theory here in a minute. Back in February, Musk posted SpaceX could have brought them back several months ago. I offered this directly to the Biden administration and they refused. He said return was pushed back for political reasons. So, okay, you've got a former astronaut. The way I read these stories, I go, this is a former astronaut, but he might be just a diehard Trump guy. Mm-hmm. And they find him and then he has some bad things to say about Biden.
Biden, yeah.
But then you hear from Wilmore, who's one of those stuck up there, Butch with Suni. He said, I can only say that Mr. Musk, what he says, is absolutely factual. His teenage daughter, Darren, also said there's been negligence that has led to her father being stranded up there. She, in a TikTok, because how else are you going to get your
word out
these days? It's less the fact that he's up there sometimes. It's more the fact of why. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of things that I'm not at liberty to say that I don't and that I don't know fully about. And
she's a 17-year-old, so emotionally she's probably really heartbroken that her dad's been up there that long.
Of course,
but such a young person, she's smart enough not to say the wrong thing.
Yeah,
give her some credit
and
there.
It would have been sad even if it was a planned 9-month mission.
Yeah.
But when it was unplanned, you don't really get Of course. So the Anderson explained politics should have no place in space. This is Astro Clay again. politics should have no place in space travel. He said, we're professionals. We're willing to stay and bite the bullet for NASA. That's the expectation. Astronauts know that any space flight can be extended or shortened within a moment's notice for any reason. He said, but that doesn't mean they have to like it. If it were me and I had to stay longer than that, I would be very angry. He had spent a total of 167 days in space. The prevailing attitude of people on the ground is just tolerate the situation. They're in space. They're superheroes. They get to see the Earth. They'll get over it. That's what his take was. So it does sound more and more likely that the reasons were entirely political. But they were saying, or Astro Clay said, he thinks it's because they were worried of risking disaster. I think it was more of an issue that who was doing the saving, right? Because remember the memes and everything coming out once that began. And pretty much the take was Elon's going to save the day again. Here he goes. NASA can't get it done, and SpaceX is going to get it done. I think the issue was more who was doing the saving, much less whether a disaster would occur or not. I think if Elon had gone up and done that after his endorsement of Trump and saved them, the political capital that would have gained Elon and thereby the Trump administration, I think that's why those two are still stuck up there.
That's something. And it's like everything's politics, right? When you sort of two people stuck in space and they become political pawns.
Yeah.
Amazing. And
at least you don't have to look them in the eye when you do it, right?
Yeah, you don't. But when they come back down, you might. And I don't know. It looks like the Biden administration at least gave it political thought on all this, one way or the other, the disaster or Musk being the hero. Looks like that played into it for sure.
And of course, you know, not out of the woods yet, obviously, with the flight up there today and then the return flight hopefully this weekend. So hopefully everything goes well with that. Texter here says Gilligan's Space Station. I bet they have some stories up there. What do you think?
Well, here's the thing. They do turn it into a movie if it turns out that the two fell in love while they were up there.
Oh, no.
Now the daughter's upset for another reason.
Yeah, or maybe one of them falls in love with a Russian up there. You don't know. Ken said, and by the way, what are those conversations like?
I don't know.
With the Russians and the Americans up there?
Yeah.
Ken says, Musk said they could have gotten him sooner, but Biden wouldn't allow it because it would give Musk a win. Outer space is a lie. Thank you, Ricky.
Outer space is a lie.
That's right. Rock and Roll Doctor. God. Do I need to stop reading this? I don't think so. Rock and Roll Doctor said, is the HAL 2000 in charge of the space station? And Gardner, Russia was ferrying American astronauts when we shut NASA down, and we couldn't ask Russia to bring them back. A lot of politics for just some folks who were trying to go to space.
Minding their own business, doing what they were told.
Yeah.
You'll be up there for 8 days. I'm sorry, 10 months, whatever.
And, you know, speaking of that whole Russia and Ukraine situation, the Ukraine agreeing to a ceasefire yesterday.
Yeah. We've had conversations about it. Trump's been erratic. He's pulling deals off the, you know, they're on, they're off, whatever. But in the end, we are making more progress than anybody ever thought. At this point, he's only 90 days in or whatever. This is Rubio and National Security Advisor Mike Waltz kind of laying out where we are right now with Ukraine saying, yes, we are for a ceasefire. We agree to that. So here we go.
This is very serious. Today people will die in this war. They died yesterday. And sadly, unless there's a ceasefire tonight, they'll die tomorrow. The president wants that to stop. That's what he's interested in here. That's why we came here.
We've gone from if the war is going to end to now how the war is going to end. And this was an important first step.
Even if the war doesn't end at this point, haven't they done some good stuff right here?
I think it's first step forward in a long time.
Exactly. And Rubio said basically, you know, now it's up to old Mother Russia.
And our hope is that the Russians will say yes, that they will also agree. So the shooting will stop, the killing will stop, the dying will stop, and the talks can begin about how to end this war permanently in a way that's acceptable and enduring for both sides.
Yeah, all right.
So obviously, you know, the war isn't over. There's no ceasefire right now, but having that one side agree. And then with a coordinated effort, and I'll say the same phrase, same cliche that every American and European leader was using yesterday, the ball is now in Russia's court. And here's what Zelensky had to say, by the way, with translation also added to it.
Not only stopping missile, drone, bomb attacks, not only in the Black Sea, but along the entire front line.
So yesterday morning when the report was coming out, or I guess the night before, that Zelensky may be willing to go with the France-UK ceasefire plan, which would have just had would have ceased aerial and naval operations, right? And bombings in the Black Sea. Well, this American one's different, and he just pointed it out. It's pretty
more
much
comprehensive.
Almost everything,
yeah,
including frontline fighting, and it is in Russia's court. So I don't think Russia is going to immediately say yes. I think they're going to try to use some leverage and fully expect Trump to use leverage. And everyone who was so mad that he put a pause on U.S. intelligence.
And just overall, and, so mad it looked like Trump's in Russia's court. He's a stooge to Putin, which I never thought that, but there's people who did.
And I could be wrong on my prediction, but this is, I think, Putin, his people will say, no, we're not going to do a ceasefire. We're winning here. And then Trump will say, all right, no holds barred then, buddy. No boots on the ground, but we're giving Ukraine full authority to use long-range missiles. How are you going to feel when you have citizens in even the central and eastern portions of Russia under the threat of attack when they've been seeing their people die, their children die for the last 3 years? There's a lot of political heat on Putin, too. We don't hear a whole lot about it. I'm right. sure it's there. Would you hate a president? Just think of how many families there have been broken, right? I think there's probably a lot of ill will towards Putin right now. And I want to see these same people who are upset about the pause in U.S. intelligence. Once Trump says, hey, you have two, there's a fork in the road right here, Putin. We either come together at the table and come up with an agreement that not everyone is going to like, but will work. Or, hey, hands off for me. I'm letting Ukraine do what they need to do. And it's going to look really bad for you. Because right now, if you come to the table, you'll get some of what you've gathered, what you've gained already. You're going to have to give up a little bit, but it's not looking good for you if you let us do this. I think that's going to come. Yep. And then so don't expect for this. Don't be surprised if this ramps up a little bit more here over the next couple weeks.
Yeah. And getting to the 30-day. Look, we're not even at the 30-day ceasefire yet. Let's point that out. Ukraine's agreed to it. Russia has not yet. It doesn't seem to be at this point of this confrontation that Russia would just go with any plan that you don't know. They're going to try to use leverage, too, and get the best deal they can get out of it, right? Some of that might have to do with the minerals as well.
Yeah, and they said that. They haven't come to an agreement on the minerals yet, Ukraine and the U.S., but that's going to be something fleshed out. Trump re-invited Zelensky back to D.C. To negotiate that. So
we got to get 30 days for it. You've got to get Russia to agree to cease fire. That may not be easy, but that's the first step. And then you have the actual talks.
At what point should we demand, and we've got a long way to go, this is certainly not top of mind, but this Nobel Peace Prize thing keeps coming up and how they're going to box Trump out of being eligible for the Nobel Peace Prize. And I haven't been following that story down to the letter, but that's, I think, kind of what's going on right now. How could you not, if he comes into office and pretty much, now I know there's still stuff going on between Israel and Gaza.
Yeah.
And I know they're still fighting that war in Russia. But if there's a ceasefire that comes from that, even if it's somewhat, I mean, who's done more right now in this world to try to end this fighting than Trump?
Nobody. And nobody tried. Nobody even tried. That's the great, our State Department and our president, it didn't appear that that was even on their things to do today. Let's stop the war. Let's try and stop the war. It wasn't part of any kind of strategy. It was, let's continue the war and count the money. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of who's done more than Trump. Who has tried to do what Trump is doing? And I think Trump is he's the right man for that job, considering his relationship with Putin, the way he started his relationship with Zelensky right off the bat, like, I'm the player and you're the bat boy, okay? You be quiet, sit on the other end of the dugout, and don't even look me in the eye. So it's not just what he's done, I think, Dalton, but legitimately, he's the one that's put the effort forward to even give it a shot.
And haven't had time to get to the CR, and we won't have time. We're going to talk with Jeff here, but we're seeing, looking like some Democrats in the Senate are saying a government shutdown would be worse, and they might be willing to vote that through.
We can bat that around with Jeff a little bit. Like, what do you think? You know, is there enough political pressure on Democrats not to shut down the government? We'll see. 8:49, Dan and Dalton, Jeff Foer. We'll chat with him on the way next. We will be among the people this weekend.
That's right. Man of the people.
Yeah.
Men and women of the people.
Yeah.
And we'll be out there. Men of the boat. We'll be at the boat show. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come by the Guides Corner. We'll have Captain Bobby Abrascato. We'll have Mike Ward. Some of the finest minds in hunting and fishing. And telling you what you're doing wrong or maybe right. And also, you'll get to come by and hang out with us. It's a good time at the Boat Show. Opens at 10 a.m. Friday morning. And Auburn will be cutting in, though. Auburn cutting in at 11:30. We'll have the pregame for Auburn's first SEC tournament game of the week, which will come on Friday. We don't know who they're playing yet. But Sean will be also doing some Facebook Lives from down there, and we'll be getting that Guides Corner thing going. So it's always a great time. We want to see you there. Also coming up Midday Mobile today, the latest name into the Mobile mayoral race, former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine joining Sean at 1, so you don't want to miss that.
Jeff Poore, the Jeff Poore Show is next. Jeff is joining us now from the Fairhope Bureau. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, there's so much to cover, and you and Sean were talking about it yesterday. It's like, where has the time gone? Because there's so much going on. Dan and I haven't even gotten really to the CR that was passed out of the House this week and now heads to the Senate. You would think Senate would just be a no, but it sounds like they're kind of waffling on this because they're worried about how it would look for them. Or I saw a theory, I think they asked Schumer about it, that if they do shut the government down, that would give Trump even more reason to keep cutting.
Yeah, that's true. You get exactly what Trump wants, the government shut down, and the non-essential services go by the wayside, perhaps. We see what we can live without.
Story on the Hill this morning, Jeff, came out, and it says that there's growing sentiment within the Senate Democratic Conference that it would be too risky to block the legislation that was passed by the House yesterday and risk that government shutdown.
Fetterman's voting for it.
Yeah, Fetterman, and we were just kind of counting the eggs in the basket there. Kelly's a maybe, Angus King maybe is a maybe. These are Democrats in more purple environments, right?
I would think so. At least there's a possibility, maybe 35% or greater, that they could lose their Senate seat. You think I also look at the map, too, and think, is this something you want to double down on for the 2026 election and then have to, like, own it later?
Right, and how long would it drag on, too? How long would the government be shut down?
Also, Jeff, interesting story in 1819. I know you had Senator Tuberville on yesterday. Rick Pate, the ag commissioner who was talking of running for governor for a time there, now says he may be shifting his aims to lieutenant governor because of a conversation I guess he had with Tuberville while they were waiting for a delayed flight. I don't know if Tuberville wanted that out there, but Pate was like, yeah, he told me he's running.
Yeah, and send it on the record, like, hey, I'm going to so. That apparently happened, but he's telling a lot of people that. But what I hear from other folks, he's telling them the opposite. That no, I'm just messing with Ainsworth or whatever.
That's funny.
It's weird. Well, we'll find out. I think honestly, I think he's still kind of going back and forth on it, and probably find out in May. If you run for governor, you're gonna have to set up around then, or you won't be competitive.
He had a chance to explain it all to you yesterday, and he kind of waffled in his reply.
Do Tuberville and Ainsworth go at each other hard if they're running against each other?
Ainsworth probably goes hard. Tuberville probably not. Tuberville will have the high ground. That's the way I would see it, because that's Ainsworth's only game. He's got to kind of plow a path there to the Republican nod.
How do you go to Tuberville hard? Talk about a bowl loss to Toledo and 99, or what do you go after him hard
without
about?
Losing to Trump supporters? Yeah.
Well, and they tried this in 2020. Remember Jeff Sessions did the ads with him living in Florida? I don't if he could, there's any ground to till there. But let's be honest, guys. Ainsworth's not beating Tuberville. I can't see any way that's going to happen.
No, and I can see Ainsworth trying to say, hey, he's just a one-term governor here. You know, you want to elect somebody that's only going to be there for a few years, even though that might not be Tuberville's plan. I don't know.
If Tuberville decides he wants to be governor for whatever reason, we have to live with it. I just hope Ainsworth runs for Senate. I think he would be a good fit for the U.S. Senate.
And real quick, we were talking about this. What is it like if Tuberville is the governor as opposed to what we've been dealing with the last eight years?
That's a great question, and no one seems to know. I don't know where he is on things like gambling, and that bothers me. I know he'd probably... A lot of people cheer him on there, but some of these issues, and who's he going to surround himself with?
Right. How often is he going to be available to people like you and me and Dalton, you know, who's going to talk
to the press. Well, probably a lot more than the current governor.
Yes,
I would say that.
That'd be a fair guess. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, former state senator Dick Brubaker in hour number one, Joey Clark with News Talk 93.1 out of Montgomery, and then in hour three, U.S. Congressman Gary Palmer joining the Jeff Poor Show.
21 hours from right now, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.